Welcome to another Sunday. You're looking at the Sideline Junkies. This is the Sunday Rise, brought to you by the Sideline Junkies Podcast Network and Clear Production Sports. Look, listen to me. If you don't want the CEO dancing in your video, come to Clear Production Sports. I'm trying to tell you. That's all I got to say about that, right? Gentlemen, good morning. Oh, let me introduce the Midnight Rider, the big guy KG, the show host. Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
If you don't want to find yourself as a bottom in a Diddy party, come over to Sideline Junkies. My bad.
We're starting early.
If you don't want to be piled up on, come on over. Come on over to the other side.
We're starting early.
It's no better time to start.
Oh, man.
I'm here, fellas. Good to be here. I'm awake. I'm alive. Let's run it. First and foremost, if you don't know already, you can check us out on social media, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. We have a group on Facebook, Sideline Junkies 24/7. That's our group where we have our own conversations out of the public view, but it's a public group. Also, scrolling down to the bottom for those that are watching live, but those that are listening in podcast land, www.buyfortmose.com, discounts maniacs. I'm sorry, backslash maniacs is our promo code to get yourself a tasty beverage, as the Nubian Sumo says, and get yourself together, man. Have something to sip on during the draft, which we got the WNBA draft tomorrow. You got the NFL draft next week. So, you know, have something to sip on. So, fellas, we are getting down to the nitty gritty, if you will. But
the meat and potatoes.
Yeah. We are at pick number 7. So let's go ahead and rock this off. BJ, tell me what the Tennessee Titans need, because they are now on the clock.
And just in case you've been living under a rock, this is the NFL draft show. We got, counting this one, 2 left. So we're going in reverse order. So we're doing 7-4 today. And today,
all right, somebody trigger happy today.
Yeah, they are. They are. It's okay. We're gonna cut the budget.
It's not missing me.
You're gonna be missing buttons on the keyboard.
It's not me.
Yeah. So we're doing the Tennessee Titans as of right now. They are pick number 7. And for the Tennessee Titans, real quick, let's see. Their needs: offensive tackle, cornerback, wide receiver, edge, and running back. Of course, everybody knows big news out of Tennessee. Mike Vrabel and Derrick Henry are gone. So they're bringing in a new era, and they're riding with Will Levis. So with that being said, let me give y'all some quick stats on the Tennessee Titans. This is total offense, passing and rushing together. They were 28th in the league, total offense, and 18th total defense. So we put the GM hats on. And you're on the clock as the Tennessee Titans. Do you get Will Levis some help? Because we got some receivers in this draft. This is where you can get probably what you want, one of the top ones. Or do you go somewhere else? Midnight Rider?
Well, I promised this to y'all earlier, but the Joker said it's better to be slapped with the truth than kissed with a lie. And Peter Skoronski last year, the tackle out of Northwestern, who they picked as their future left tackle, can only play guard. In the words of Jay Gruden, a guard. Guard. They got me a guard. So I think this might be a spot, because I think tackle is a definite need for them. And if you go to the Golden Domers, where you got a tackle named Joe Alt, who could be the potential left tackle of the future, and you could potentially solidify the left side of your offensive line for the next 12, 13 years with Ault and Skowronski beside each other. So that would be option one in my book. Option two would be taking whatever's left of the Malik Nabers, Romeo Odunze class or cluster, because they do need a wide receiver to go with Will Levis. Option three, and the path least taken, would be to take Brock Bowers and get you an all-inclusive tight end that runs like a wide receiver, but you can pair him with Will Levis, and you get your version of Kelce and Mahomes. Of course, I'm not calling Levis Mahomes. I'm just saying you have that relationship in place. So I think those are the three places that Tennessee could go and should go. You guys can take it from there for me.
Big guy KG, what you thinking? You got the Tennessee Titan GM hat on.
Okay. Your quarterback room, I'm looking at the roster. Your quarterback room is Will Levis, Mason Rudolph, Malik Willis. Okay. I don't know if Will Levis will regress. He did show some flashes last year. Don't know if he'll regress. They picked up Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard's not a bruiser. He's not a inside the red zone guy, as the Midnight Rider likes to call him. At receiver, you have Treylon Burks. You have D-Hop, DeAndre Hopkins. You also signed Calvin Ridley. Offensive line, shaky at best. They did pick up Sadiq Charles. So that's one guard if you want. Skowronski could be your other guard. They got Leroy Watson. Who?
Leroy Watson.
From the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama.
I believe the children are future.
But here, you got a young quarterback. You got to give him his protector. You got to give him his big brother at left tackle with this pick. Number seven pick, you got to pick the best left tackle available and go from there. You can't go any other way, because it wouldn't matter if you got the best receiver in the draft. It wouldn't matter if he's on a five-step drop, and when he's taking step four, he already got a defender in his face getting sacked. That receiver is null and void. So I say take a your best tackle here. Build your line slowly but surely through this draft. Because you got some receivers. You can get you a running back later on in the draft, maybe third or fourth round. With this pick at number seven, please, Tennessee, take a left tackle.
Well, you can get you a running back next week after the draft. You don't have to.
You don't have to address that. I'm glad. Yo, I swear sometimes we operate on like a synergy that unparalleled, because my next statement was this. If you're the Tennessee Titans and you get into the third round or the fourth round, there's two names you want to use. One is Braydon Allen, Wisconsin. He's a big thumping running back because you got Tony Pollard. And if you have watched this show, you know that I believe that Tony Pollard can't get it done when it counts in the red zone. And if you don't take him, there's a kid out of Notre Dame, Audric Estime, who's probably got some of the best numbers in his yards per carry of any back in the country. That's another name you want to watch out for. Now, unfortunately, Estime doesn't make my top five running backs in this class, but he's like at seven. And I'm telling you right now, for a team like the Titans that is known for being a team that likes to stand behind their run game, this is the perfect pick for them. Estime or Braydon Allen.
Real quick, if you're the Tennessee Titans, and if you believe in Will Levis and you think he's the type of QB that can make the offense move, you know, make the receivers better, then if you watch what just happened in Chicago with Justin Fields, you have to address your offensive line. Is this that simple? You have to address your offensive line. You can find receiver talent you know, throughout the draft, and it, you know, we always talk about, because we're doing reverse order, you know, do they go back three spots, four spots, and pick up some more stuff? And depending on where they have these offensive tackles ranked, you know, generally the one, two, and three guys at every position is probably the same for each team, whether they can reach them or not. But if I'm Tennessee, I love Will Levis Armstrong. Like if he can progress, and if he is that quarterback that doesn't need, I'm talking about Tom Brady with the receiving core you can't name. Is he that type of quarterback that can make receivers better, that can move the offense? We'll see. But you have to get him some offensive line help. And, I mean, if we're being totally honest, is Tennessee, you know, are they the last place team in the AFC South this year? I believe they are.
Well, I mean, the beauty of it is we got to play the schedule out. And if they can, they're a team that doesn't beat themselves. And with their defense, they can always be in ball games. So you can out-talent them, but you're not, they're solid all around. Go ahead, BJ. I saw the head shake.
That's the Mike Vrabel coach team. That's the Patriot way. That's not what they have anymore. They're going over. And you said something earlier about standing on the run game. This is a totally different Tennessee team. This isn't the Mike Vrabel bringing the Patriot way strategy. Because Mike Vrabel defensively, while he's been coaching the Titans, they've been solid. Like, I love watching.
I just realized this is Brian Callahan.
Is this Brian Callahan?
And the Pops. Okay, so hold on. Go ahead. Finish your statement. I got to go back to the running back room.
One thing I did enjoy about watching the Tennessee Titans under Mike Vrabel is that the linebacker play. You can see that he has his hand in that. You can see how they move to the ball, how they react to things, how they communicate with each other. And, you know, whatever's left over, you're going to, you know, still kind of pick up that. You're going to learn from that. But this is a whole different regime. This isn't what Mike Vrabel's bringing to the field. So, who's in the South? This is the Jaguars, Houston, Tennessee, and who else? Who am I forgetting?
Indianapolis.
Yeah, this is the last place team for me. This is three or four.
No, you're good. I'm changing my, now that you say that, because Callahan is a outside zone type of guy. So I would think that the running backs they would like would be the kid out of Clemson, Will Shipley, Blake Corum, or like a Bucky Irvin, the kid out of Oregon. Those kind of shifty backs that one cut and they can go. That might be why Pollard's there. That actually makes a lot of sense now that you say it that way, B. And I totally got caught in the trap of thinking about Vrabel and replacing Derrick Henry. When you don't have to replace Derrick Henry, you can make him up in the aggregate, as they say in the movie Moneyball.
Here's something. You talk about Brian Callahan and his dad, Bill Callahan. We know what Bill Callahan can do with offensive lines. I think that's why Sadiq Charles went there, because if I'm not mistaken, Sadiq Charles played a season under Callahan, and it was actual season where he had pretty good win rates in the run game. This is going to be a strong offensive line that works together. And I've been trying to get next to Joe Bugle. Bill Callahan is the next guy. I can't get Joe Bugle because he's on the other side. So Bill Callahan is the next guy that I want to coach my O-line to help me keep my young quarterback upright, but also keep my run game up to par. I seen what he can do. Bill Callahan, I seen what you've done for others. I need you to do it for me.
Farfanugan. That's the word for the night. Farfanugan. Because, no, it's not just Bill Callahan. You got the dude at the Eagles. I forget his name. You got Juan. What's the dude, Juan, that's here, that used to be here, that they made that was in Philly? It's not Juan Rodriguez, because I feel like I'm being culturally biased when I say it that way. But whoever that guy is, There's three or four guys out there over Bill Collins.
But I said ahead. For me. I didn't say anybody. I said it's for me.
I know what you said, but I'm calling Farfik Nugent.
Okay. All right, bro. We ready to move on?
We are ready to move on. Pick number six.
Pick the number
New York six. Football the New Giants. York
football Giants. You are on the clock.
You can hear this four times?
No, you're only getting it once. It was on loop. Thank you very much. What do they need, their boss?
Biggest needs for the New York football Giants. They finished... Oh, by the way, the Tennessee Titans last year finished 6-11. I forgot that. The New York Giants also finished 6-11. Their biggest needs, defensive tackle, running back, interior offensive line. Everybody in the league needs an edge. We if they say edge from now on, we're not even going to say it. And cornerback. Biggest thing I see coming in for the New York Giants is, of course, the loss of Saquon Barkley to division rival Philadelphia Eagles. And you get Daniel Jones back, and you got to kind of figure out what you got going with him. So real quick, we'll do the same order. We'll throw it to the Midnight Rider, go to the big guy, KG, and I'll slide back over to me. Midnight Rider at six, you got your New York football giant, GM cap on. What you doing?
Wow, this is a tough spot because you're going to have all the mayhem happen in front of you. So 1 through 5, I think we know what 1's going to be. I think we know 2's a QB. I think we know 3 is a wild card. And that's probably the place where this draft takes shape, where we figure out what's going to happen the rest of the way. And then you might have some information or drama at 4. But if you're the Giants and everything goes the way you think it's going to go, I honestly think this is a spot for JJ McCarthy. He's not dynamic where his stats or his info is going to jump out or off the screen for you, but he's a quarterback. And I say this every time I talk about the quarterbacks in this draft, but he's the one quarterback that benefits the most from Brock Purdy being Brock Purdy. He does all the little things, all the intangibles. The unfortunate part is this for me is too high to take a guy that I feel is like a Kirk Cousins type, where he's a 10-win guy as his ceiling, but if the weather is right, he's a 11 or 12-win guy. Because things go right in your season, he can win you 11, 12 games, but he can't by himself manufacture 11 or 12 wins, if that makes sense. And if it doesn't, let me know. So I think J.J. McCarthy is one, plan B one. Here or plan A. Plan B is Malik Nabers. The Giants haven't had a decent wide receiver in their lineup since Plaxico Burress and Victor Cruz. So they definitely need outside talent. And I see the finger up already. Go ahead, KG.
Plaxico, Victor Cruz, Mario Manningham.
Stop.
I said Plaxico and I said Cruz.
So you're not going to give Mario Manningham in a slot? Like, they had 3 receivers that nobody could stop.
That's why
that Eli little run that they had.
The Eli threw 5,000 yards? What did I miss? Nah, don't give me that. Nah, you came in with the Shug Knight. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. You know what I'm saying? Came in like you was L.A. Knight. Let me talk to you. So talk to me.
You take that as me saying that Mario Manningham was like the greatest thing since an egg white omelet. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that trio of receivers, those were their 3 receivers that Eli relied on, and he got busy with them.
Okay.
I'm not saying that they were the greatest thing. I'm not saying that he was you left him off because he was great. No, the way that they worked and how they worked out was beautiful because it worked for them as a team.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Okay. You taking it the whole another way, and then you discrediting the brother who has a Super Bowl. Who helped. Not sat on the bench. He helped. He contributed to the Super Bowl wins.
So when we bring up or we talk about artists, do you ever talk about Jermaine Jackson or Tito?
Yes.
Okay.
Jackie too.
No, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, no. Yes, he does. He's not lying. Yes, he does.
Oh my God.
That's one man that gives everybody their flowers.
All right. So I'll accept this argument on the grounds of history being placed in context. Oh man.
I don't even know
where Plan C was now.
Yeah.
Especially with the big guy. Oh, yeah. Donald Turner. I think there's an opportunity for the Giants to, if they don't want to stay on the offensive side of the ball, they can go get them an edge to go along with Charles Leno's best friend, Thibodeau, who Charles Leno likes to give 7 sacks to in the season. I think Thibodeau is going to be in for a rude awakening now that that Leno isn't in Washington. So he's got to find a place to get 8 sacks every year without Leno being around. but if I think they go with Talis Turner on the other side, they could create a deadly defensive line and be even more difficult to deal with. And they're another team that late in the draft, we're talking second, third round. This is a place where I think Trey Benson, Jonathan Brooks, we're talking about running backs, where these two young guys can go and find a home. And I forgot the guy from Tennessee's name. I can look it up. But there's a kid from Tennessee also that kind of went the route of what's the dude in the running back in the Wiz 41 in New Orleans?
Alvin Kamara.
He went the Kamara route. He went somewhere else, transferred to Tennessee, finished his career at Tennessee. It's a running back, and he jumped out because he ran a great 40 at the combine. His name is Jalen Wright. So that's another place for a kid like him. So Brooks, Jalen Wright, Trey Benson are the running backs I think the Giants could bring in later in the draft, either the second or the third round, and they can replace Saquon Barkley's production.
Big guy KG, what you doing if you besides, you know, drafting Mario Manningham at 6?
I never said that. Looking at the quarterback room, you got Daniel Jones, who's obviously your starter.
You got the great Jerry Rice, Mario Manningham, and everybody else.
Wow. Since you want to be smart. It's Jerry Rice, Charlie Taylor, and everybody.
And Mario Manningham.
let me rephrase that. It's Jerry Rice, Charlie Taylor, Max McGee, and everybody else.
Mario Manningham.
Yeah, Mario Manningham.
In the quarterback room, you got Daniel Jones. Of course, that's your incumbent starter. You can't sit that much money on the bench, even if you wanted to. The great Tommy DeVito. Everybody loves Tommy D.
What?
And also you got my man Drew Lock. I think Drew Lock would fit in better down in Atlanta, you know? He like Jeezy a lot. So, they got a drop off with running backs. Like, you got Devin Singletary, Gary Brightwell, and then it's like, who? At receiver? This is where I think they have to go receive, because you have Isaiah Hodgins, who had a pretty good season last year. He was their number one by default. They got Isaiah McKenzie. You got Darius Slayton, but Darius Slayton never shows up. He shows up to practice. He'll show up to the game, but once the game starts, he's the invisible man. So that's crazy. Same thing goes for Darren Waller at tight end. And I'm looking at their roster. It's a name on the tight end that I'm sure the boss BJ may not even remember. But Tyree Jackson.
That's the quarterback out of Buffalo.
Yes.
6'7", 213 that could spin it, but he couldn't hit a – never mind.
I don't know what happened in Buffalo, but they gave him a season in Buffalo, and then he went to, you know, the D.C. Defenders.
Well, I mean, if you can't hit an ocean – standing on the shore, then, I mean, you can't play quarterback.
Well, hold on. We're not going to say, you know, when this dude came out of college, I remember we did the draft show and we were talking about him. And I was like, if he's groomed and he's taught the NFL way, he's going to be a pretty good quarterback. He'll be a good game manager. He threw for 6,999 yards in college, 49 touchdowns and 24 picks. The kid can dope. He can throw the ball and he can run.
You know, for a guy that loves John Thompson so much, you tend to kick one of his edicts in the ass every time you talk about certain players. And potential will get you fired is one of John's biggest things.
And his thing is not, it's not about potential with him. The kid was a talent. But what happens to quarterbacks out of small schools? Especially if you got some size on you. They're going to move your position every time.
Look, I love what you're saying, but certain quarterbacks, if you can, and I think Joe Milton is going to fit in this class too. I think you can have all the arm talent in the world, but as my man said, the sunshine, you can throw it a country mile, but you can't pitch it 2 feet. Then we got a problem. And I think some of these guys, that's their problem, Joe Milton is probably one of the – he has the best arm talent in this draft, and he's going to be made or broken by his accuracy.
I'll say it again.
The other kid that started in front of him, and I apologize for messing his name up, is either Hudson Hilton or Hilton Hudson, or but he was drafted by the Detroit Lions in like the fourth round because he tore his knee up at the end of the season. That's another kid that has all the arm talent in the world. The problem is, if you can't be accurate or you can't show NFL teams that you can do things, you got to change your position. Just go ask Logan Thomas.
What do we say all the time on this show? As you progress in your career from peewee to high school to college, the talent you face gets greater and greater. When we're talking about quarterbacks, I don't want to see the stats. If you're throwing a 4- and 5-star receivers playing against 2- and 3-star cornerbacks, I don't want to see those stats. I want to see the stats when you're playing a team on your level. If you got 5-star receivers, I want to see you throwing against a 4- or 5-star cornerback. So when these guys are chucking it up to guys that are running 4.3 and 4.4, and the fastest person on the other team is 4.6, that I don't want to see that. And as you get to the next level, and the speed of the game kills a lot of these guys. They just can't keep up. They have a lot of them have the arm strength. It's the windows. The windows go from here, and some teams, it is no window. You could just close your eyes and throw it up. It is no window. So when you get to the NFL, the ball has to be out at a certain time, at a certain trajectory, and if it's not there, it's going back the other way for 6. And those are the guys that struggle to pick up, not including, and not including guys that come in the league that offenses aren't tailored for their skills.
Right.
I keep saying that too. You can't come in the league as a certain type of quarterback, but you're running a whole different system that you don't fit. You don't fit the West Coast. You don't fit, you know, whatever. You need a certain tailored system. So a lot goes into that. But real quick, because we've been on the New York Football Giants for a minute.
I'm going to jump in real quick, and I'm going to let you go. I think that's the reason J.J. McCarthy has jumped up this board, is because I think they see him as a jack of all trades. You don't have to – you can do a cookie-cutter offense. One of the things that Schlereff said about C.J. Stroud last year was talking about how his feet, by being under center and knowing the pass game from under center, is where he became elite or was able for him to transition easy. And I think this is where J.J. McCarthy has the upper hand on some of the other quarterbacks in this draft. And it's probably why he's getting pushed up, is because he spent a lot of time under center doing play action, under center, dropping back, throwing passes into windows from the drop back game. So that might be the reason, honestly, why the people, the scouts, the coaches put him at four, or some of you may have him at two in this year's draft class over some of the other quarterbacks available.
Mel Kiper has money. What I was going to say about the New York Football Giants, they have the same problem that they have every season. Don't matter who's in the backfield, they cannot keep them upright. We just talked about this with Tennessee. If you're going to have a quarterback in a passing league, you have to either, I just said it with the quarterbacks, you either have to change your philosophy or how you get the ball out if you don't have the talent on the offensive line, or you have to go get the talent. It doesn't matter who you get. If you cannot keep Daniel Jones wasn't playing last year. We know he's been the league with sack taker for a while, right? He wasn't even playing last year, and they still had the same face. So Brian Daboll has to come up with something. I believe he can, but you might have a team in front of Tennessee that may have to go get a tackle. You can't eat Daniel Jones' contract right now. How much longer are they stuck with him? They stuck with him for
one more year.
Okay.
So Matt, they have Andrew Thomas, and I know you're about to get to Matt. So let's get Matt's comment real quick.
Matt, I keep saying that.
See, this is what happens when you got a community of people that are like-minded, and we all look at things the same way. Matty Ice says that's the big problem in the NFL. Head coaches and OCs try to fit the QB into their system instead of building what the QB does well. We've said that for 6 years.
You started this damn podcast. You get the Al Saunders of the world, be like, hey, go learn this. I don't care what you can do. This is our playbook. This is what you're going to do. This is how we're going to run it. That doesn't work. You have guys that are like the Midnight Rider said, jack of all trades. They can fit into. They've done it in the college system. They've done a little bit of everything. But then you have guys that are primarily, they don't have the arm strength to go sling it 20, 25 yards. So you have to play the crossing routes and the short and the outs and this and that. Then you have some guys that don't have the arm power for the outs. Like, you know, you have to figure out what your guy can do, what your offensive line can do, what your receivers can do. And I think you have 20 offense. I ain't gonna say 20. You have at least 15 offensive coordinators that don't know how to do that. They're just going out there, hey, run this play. We don't care what the situation, just run this play here.
You know,
we're not going to adjust.
It's funny you say that, because the biggest offender of that is the guy that was just in Chicago. His name escapes me, but I think it's Gentry or Genty. I think he's he's with the Raiders now as their OC. And I know Matt's going to give me his name in a second here. But when I watched, because I'm a big NFL matchup person, I think it's the Bible of pro football shows. And they talked about the way his offense, the way he sets his plays up is almost backwards. And it's not conducive, or it's not the same as everybody else when they run it. So it makes it harder for the quarterback to find open people because of the way he sets this up. And I think it's Luke Gentry, but that speaks to exactly what you're saying. And I think it's why, for me, there are certain coordinators that come off of the Kyle Shanahan tree. I think Zach Robinson in Atlanta is going to have a big year. There's certain guys that come off of certain trees and they set their offenses up in the correct way. I like what Washington has set up. The fact that you have Brian Johnson, big guy KG's stepdad, Anthony Lynn, and company. You got those four guys. And big guy, you know what I'm saying, because that's your guy. Anthony Lynn is your guy through and through. I've never heard anybody stomp for Anthony Lynn until I met you. So that's why I say it that way. But yeah, you got these coordinators, and Washington has four guys that can mold an offense around their QB. And we'll get to that when we talk about two next week. So let's go on and get out of this pick six.
Yeah, I'm about to say we've been on New York Football Giants for 15 minutes. We got to go. We got to go. We got to go, baby. On the clock, pick number five, the Los Angeles Superchargers. Ah, let's go to the needs of the Los Angeles Chargers. You have to excuse me because I can't find my glasses either. Couldn't find a phone before we started the show. Yeah. So
the, at least your glasses aren't like the top of your head or anything.
Yeah, I've been looking. They're not there. And I still have hair right now, so you know that's a good thing. The biggest needs for the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, new head coach coming in. They lost Austin Eckler. They finished 5-12 last year. They need a cornerback, a running back, defensive tackle, tight end, and center. And we're going to do this real quick. I don't think we need to spend a whole bunch of time on the Chargers because they disappointed the last two seasons. I think I've picked them to win the three. I picked them to win the division, and they have come up short, to say the least. Midnight Rider, that Los Angeles Chargers GM hat. Where you going with this? Pick number five. What you doing? I mean, this is Jim Harbaugh.
So again, what I've been trying to do since we're doing this in reverse order is to give you three options because I can't. There's no process of elimination in this scenario. So plan A to me is take a tackle. So take the kid from Penn State, Ola Washanah Fanu or Joe Alt. That's plan one. Take a tackle because he talked about in his presser, he talked about building the offensive line, having a dominant offensive line, and going from there. Number two, I think because you don't have Keenan Allen, you don't have Mike Williams, I think you have to draft a receiver. So this is another spot for the kid Malik Nabers from LSU. I think if he goes there, it automatically changes your offense. Plan C, Brock Bowers. Because you get yourself a dynamic weapon, and he gives him somebody like a Vernon Davis who you can put in multiple situations and be diversified in your offense. You can come out in 12 or 13 personnel, and this tight end can operate like a wide receiver. And he can actually block a little bit. The only thing you can't get caught up in is trying to make him block the big edge rushers in this league. He can block the fast twitch guys, but he can't block the solid guys that are at 4-3 edges. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, we can have that conversation on a Tuesday where we can break it down more. But those are the three options, I think.
Like I've been doing for every other pick, starting in the quarterback room. Justin Herbert's your starter. Max Duggan, Easton Stick. It's a lot of former Redskin commanders on this team, I see.
Got a question.
Oh, B, go ahead.
I don't have a question. And I apologize, Junkies. Total offense for the New York Giants, 29th. Total defense, 27th. Los Angeles Chargers, 18th total offense, 28th total defense. My apologies. Big guy, please say. I'm so sorry.
And you said 28th defense. How do you have the 28th ranked defense with Joey Bosa on one side, Khalil Mack on the other?
Because what you're doing is when the Chargers, remember, you got a top-tier quarterback. When they're running, the defense is right back on the field. You have to take a step back and look at what's on the other side. When you have an offense, it's more impressive when you have an offense ripping and running. And I say Buffalo. I know y'all know I'm biased. But Buffalo's defense is still top seven, and the offense rips and runs. But when your offense rips and runs, or they don't run, and your defense has to keep coming right back out, right back out, right back out, right back out, you're going to fall in yardage. It is what it is. You're going to get gashed. You're going to allow big plays. So you have to take that in consideration.
All right. Midnight Rider mentioned, I think one of you guys mentioned needing a running back. They got Gus Edwards. They got a former commander, Jared Patterson, who is
There is no. KG, I apologize. This is not an agenda against you today, but you just said the key word running back. You said the Chargers. The head coach is Jim Harbaugh, right? There's one name and one name only that I see the Chargers taking, and they're gonna overdraft this kid. It's Blake Corum. It's the running back from Michigan. The kid can do everything. So on the second day of the draft, probably at like 35 or 34, I don't know where this pick falls in the second round, you might hear his name. And I'm glad, I keep telling y'all, somehow you Negroes know how to set these up, put it on the tee. You like the Sherm Douglas?
Excuse me, sir?
What
do you mean, you people?
I'm sorry, dog. We off the chain today. But no, seriously, I think this is Blake Corum's job. And if they don't take him the Redskins pick at, or the Commanders pick at 36. No, that's Chicago's pick. So the Commanders pick at 40. So this pick has to be like 41 or 42. If you don't hear Blake Corum's name, I will be totally shocked, because this is a Harbaugh kid. He knows exactly what Harbaugh wants, what Harbaugh needs.
Whatever make him happy.
There you go. Yo, I test. it's there, man. Chemistry, baby. But no, seriously, I just totally think this is a Blake Corum's ending up as an LA Charger. And if it doesn't happen, and then I gotta eat crow. But I totally think in the second round, that's exactly where they're going.
Tastes good with hot sauce. They got Jared Patterson. I don't know which Jared Patterson you're gonna get, because I remember when this kid was here, he touched the ball and it was a good 5 yards. But the biggest knock on him was he couldn't stay upright. He stumbled through the hole and got 5 yards. If he stayed upright, it's 7 to 10. So you may have running back by committee out there in LA. I think they go receiver with this pick. And Matty Ice said, I would be shocked if the Chargers picked here. This seems to be a spot for someone to trade up to. And I agree with Matty Ice, but if they do stay here, you got to take the best receiver available. So that's anybody after Marvin Harrison Jr. But they may get Marvin Harrison Jr.
Honestly, I don't even know if Marvin Harrison Jr. is my number one receiver in this group. I love Malik Nabers. Just from a draft process, looking at him, and I think he's more dynamic than Marvin Harrison Jr. I think the difference between the two is Marvin Harrison Jr. is Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
His junior gets him an extra tick on the podium.
And are you concerned about the reports of the off the field issues with Malik Nabers?
I don't worry about, like, I'm one of those guys. I don't worry about the off the field, because if we get you in the building and we get you with the right guys in our building, then we can fix everything else around you. But I know
if you have the right guys.
I knew you was, like, the second I said the statement, I just looked up in the box. I knew, again, chemistry. Yeah, but I just think Malik Nabers is one of those guys that he is so dynamic. And for me, he stuck out more last season than Marvin. And I actually was about to, before this show even started, I was going to reach out to Pete and ask Pete Medhurst if he thought Marvin Harrison was the second best and Malik Nabers was the best receiver in this class.
It is a question off subject. See if you can reach out to Pete Medhurst and see on draft night if he want to sit in for the first 3-4 picks.
I think Pete's got. I'm not even gonna do that because I know Pete's got either on the fan or in Baltimore. I know he's gonna draft day responsibilities.
Okay.
So what I would do, or what I'm gonna try to do, is actually reach out to him and see if he can get me. And what we need to do is figure out like a couple positions or segments where, like, maybe we pick edge rusher, quarterback, running back, and we get Pete's top five, and he sends it to me. Okay. So that way we can get his input. I know he's not going to have, because you got lacrosse season going, you got field hockey. I know it's softball season. I know Pete's not going to have time to like jump in and give us a segment, but I can at least reach out and get some tidbits from him.
Okay. Finishing up, you talked about tight end. They have Hayden Hurst. They have Will Disley and another former Redskins / Commander / football team player, Donald Parham, who has played better in L.A. than he was given the opportunity to play here. I think you're pretty solid at tight end. I think you go receiver with this pick. If you keep this pick, you go receiver. You got to get you somebody because that receiver room, Darius Davis, Simi Fioko, Quentin Johnson, Josh Palmer, who? You got no names. You got
I'm going to say this because we've seen Justin Herbert in action. Justin Herbert is that guy that he can take a no-name receiver room and have a productive offense. Now, don't count the guys out yet because you have a top five quarterback in the room, top six, whatever you want to call him. He's one of the top guys. He can do it. We've seen him, you know. Of course, he had, you know, Williams and whoever else.
So Johnson's the kid from TCU that if he had hands, he would be okay.
What?
I'm dead serious. Yo, you don't even understand.
Oh my goodness.
If he had hands, because he said
that's like saying if your car had an engine.
Okay. So you understand, you smell what the Midnight Right is cooking. But that's his biggest problem. And it's what kind of why I talk about Malik Nabers in this spot. And I got off my thought process because I'm 48 and my brain.
You're saying if he had hands.
So what I was going to is, this is why I think Brock Bowers could work here in this spot, because they could take Brock Bowers here in the second round. If they don't go Blake Corum or go running back, they can go with a wide receiver like a what's the kid out of Mitchell, Adonai Mitchell, Texas wide receiver. They could go Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon. And if they wanted a junkyard dog, like I think Jim Harbaugh, it's the kid Leggett from South Carolina, and he can have his own version of a Debo Samuel. That's it. I'm sorry.
All right, let's get to pick number four. Chicago Cardinals. I'm sorry, the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm sorry, the Phoenix Cardinals. I'm sorry, the Arizona Cardinals are now on the.
It doesn't matter what Cardinals they are. At Arizona Cardinals, they finished 13 last year. Biggest needs for them. We've been talking about wide receiver a lot. Wide receiver, defensive tackle, interior offensive line. Every single team in the NFL, all 32 need edge. All 32. And cornerback. Coming in with Kyler Murray. Midnight Rider. Quickly, let's get the Arizona Cardinals out of the way.
I mean, I think only way they don't take Marvin Harrison Jr. here is if they either trade up to get him, and I don't know why they would, or they trade back with a team like a Minnesota Vikings, like a Las Vegas Raiders, so those teams can get the fourth best quarterback on this draft board, no matter how you look at it. So this could be Drake May, this could be Jaden Daniels, or this could be J.J. McCarthy, depending on how the first three view quarterbacks. So I think this is, I only have one option. It's Marvin Harrison Jr. There's no plan B, there's no plan C. It's Marvin Harrison Jr. or you're trading out of this spot. Personally, I think I would take Malik Nabers here over MHJR, but that's me and my personal opinions, because I think Malik Nabers is a little bit more explosive than Marvin Harrison Jr. I think it's easy to stand out when you have the best wide receivers in the country around you. Like when you have a Chris Olave, you have Garrett Wilson, you have, what's the kid's name? Amik Amuba or Aboum, something like that. You had that kid in your slot, and then they got a kid that's coming in this year who's probably one of the best wide receiver prospects ever. I think it's easy for him to stand out. And I think I would take the gamble on Nabers over Harrison Jr. But I think this is a Harrison Jr. pick.
It's funny you say that, because during the draft of DK Metcalf and AJ Brown, everybody was like, oh, DK Metcalf, the best out of Ole Miss, and he going to be the best pick. And the da-da-da-da, I was like, AJ Brown is way better, more durable. DK just passes the eye test. He just has the body. He's good. He just has the body, and y'all just in love with the body. I said, you got to look at the work. AJ Brown is that guy. Everybody's like, no. Then when they start comparing him, AJ Brown was that dude.
We got to go back and look at that, because DK didn't get taken until like the second round, and it wasn't early. I think it was late in the second round.
But AJ,
like Jalen Reagor got taken before DK Metcalf in that draft, and I can't remember where AJ Brown was taken. So I apologize.
Real quick, when y'all looking that up, total offense for the Arizona Cardinals 19th, total defense 25th,
and that total offense was without Kyler Murray.
Without Kyler Murray, yes.
AJ Brown was taken in the second round, 51st pick.
And where was Metcalf taken?
Hold on, I got you.
40 what?
He was taking second round, 64th pick.
Okay.
But
that tells you right there that the draft board thought that AJ Brown was better than DK.
Yeah, but no, I'm talking about the guys that I was talking to. They was talking about drafting DK here, and I was like, no, if you want to draft a receiver here in the second round, you get AJ Brown. That's the guy you get. And that, Brown's a bum. But anyway, I'm getting off subject. This is the Arizona Cardinals we're talking about, and I think this is the same brain trust that decided to hire Cliff Kingsbury when they got Kyler Murray, correct? They haven't changed GMs or anything. So
no, I don't think so.
If they don't trade out of this, I'm going to tell you who they're going to take. They're going to take 6'1", 207, Joshua Cardy out of Stanford. That's who they're going to take with this number four pick.
Who?
Joshua Cardy.
Who?
Out of Stanford.
Okay. This has got to be a bit.
What do you mean? This is Arizona. They're going to blow this. They're going to pick a kicker with the fourth pick.
What are we doing here? Swear to God, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here? What are we doing here?
They're going to blow it.
You, if you're Arizona.
I just got set up for what are we doing here?
You're going to get calls for this pick. Like the Midnight Rider said, you know, you got these other teams that are vying for the third and fourth best quarterbacks in the draft. So you're going to get calls. Can you get a package where you can move back, still get help? Because you need help on both sides of the ball. You need help on both sides. You need help at receiver. You need help at offensive line. You need help at defensive line. So it's not like, even if you hit the home run, let's say Marvin Harrison Jr. comes in here and, you know, you're still losing games 30-42 because you have no defense on the other side of the ball. So they need help. I would not be surprised if this pick leaves Arizona for multiple picks and somebody moves up and grabs either a quarterback or Marvin Harrison Jr. or Neighbors, one or the other.
So I've mocked as Arizona a couple times, and I've taken the trade back from, I think it's the Minnesota Vikings, where you get 11, 23, and multiple other picks. And so at 11, you can take offensive tackle, edge rusher. Person in mind is the kid from UCLA, Lata Lotu, because he's a dominant edge rusher. And then at 23, maybe you take somebody else. You take either your wide receiver. Again, we're talking about Adonai Mitchell. We're talking guys of that ilk. Those second, third, or fourth wide receivers on somebody's draft board. And when I say second, third, or fourth, I'm omitting 1 through 3. I'm omitting Romeo Odunze, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Malik Neighbors, because I know those three are going to be gone. So that's how we look at it.
All honesty, I don't see Arizona keeping this pick. But if they do,
can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
No. So if we do it, because draft, first night of the draft is Thursday. So I think, I don't know what time it starts, but I think we should do our show Thursday. And I'm going to see if my guy Jack Carr is available, because he's a draft guy. And so we can't get Pete Medhurst, but we can get us a Pete Medhurst light with Jack Carr.
Well, tradition is always we go during the draft. That's okay. Tradition.
I know we sat there last year, and you watched me.
Y'all leaving me out because y'all know I ain't available there. This is absolutely heartbreaking and crushing. I just want to let y'all know this. Y'all are making plans without me. Let me call a timeout that I don't have.
See, I had already had it set up. I was gonna call. I was gonna call the big job, and I was gonna cry and snot and all that. I was gonna do all of that. I had you already set up that you had to come home.
You know what you're gonna get? Boy, get off this damn phone playing. Get off this damn baby phone playing.
Victim of, hold on, what the heck is this? Victim of a good
bleep, bleep, bleep. Random question. Do y'all think the Steelers or Browns will make a move in the first round? I mean, not just the Steelers or the Browns. If you got your eyes set on a particular player that fits your needs, that you're in love with, you're going to move. You're going to sell a house. You're going to go to the bank and cash that check.
I think the Browns don't have anything because of the Deshaun Watson.
I believe so.
If I'm not mistaken, and the Steelers are in a spot. I think we talked about them earlier, but I think the Steelers are going to go quarterback, or they're going to move back, and they're one of the teams that are in that spot where like the Commanders can call them, give them multiple picks later, and they move out of the first round or they move back in the first round, depending on the team, because I don't think the Steelers might want to tackle, but it depends on how much they love the tackle position. Is going to determine whether the Steelers stay where they are or if the Steelers move back.
The Browns do not have a first round pick.
That's what I thought. And I don't think the Browns won't move because they're too analytical. They won't make the move to get into the first round. in my opinion, especially late. I think they'll just sit where they are and maybe they move up in the second, but they won't move up in the first.
Here's two dynamics about these teams. I think both of these teams are all in. Both of these teams feel like if they're healthy, they can compete for the AFC. So that's one dynamic. And the other dynamic is with Pittsburgh, I've said it on the show. If Pittsburgh had a competent quarterback, they would have beat Buffalo in Buffalo, that playoff series, because the rest of the team is loaded. The other dynamic, too, that Mike Tomlin has, he has a very good eye of finding receivers throughout the draft. So if you're all in and you can go get, you know, not in the first round, but you can go get some help, and you believe like Russ can, you know, or you go get your tight end, you know, I don't know. But these are two teams that are fighting for the AFC. So when you talk about, I don't want to say stacked teams, because we haven't seen what Pittsburgh can do with their new, you know, quarterbacks. But we know what the Browns can do. We saw it with Joe Flacco. We haven't seen a full Deshaun Watson season. They're loaded on defense. Right. So this is where you're adding to what you have. If you can get a dynamic piece, cool. But if you're the Browns and you're the second round, you're looking for somebody that can play right now, but you're also looking for you're trying to address a weak spot and get depth for the Browns, because they got a really good team. They just can't get over the hump.
If you're the Browns, you got Amari Cooper on the outside. Luke McCaffrey. His brother is Christian. He's probably going to be a day two guy. So maybe second round, third round guy. That's a guy. How do we say it, KG? Here's a guy. And I'm telling you right now, Luke has all the numbers. And he could be this year's Puka Nacua in the right offense. And I don't know if he fits in Cleveland. I know a couple other places he will fit. Atlanta, San Francisco. You name a spot. He can't fit in Green Bay only because Green Bay got a bunch of young guys playing wide receiver. But there's a spot for a guy like that in that situation.
I mean, everybody need the Diddy guy, or what, the guy that's willing to go underneath.
Yeah. Woo! So, Arizona.
Arizona.
If they don't trade out of this, they got to strengthen up the
No, they don't have to strengthen up the D.
What time of exercise we doing for that?
Hey man, what y'all eating today?
You know what? This is a great topic. Not any kind of segue, because I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing today. So I have chicken and I have ground beef. So part of me wants to do tacos. So I'm thinking I'm doing tacos with the ground beef. And that way it can last a couple days. And then I'm also thinking I can do chicken, rice type of deal with everything else. Because I got onions, I got the peppers, I got everything to make all this work. I just got to figure out what my proclivity is. Do I want chicken tacos? Do I want ground beef tacos? And if I do chicken tacos, then I'm doing spaghetti. So.
Boss?
I have this lavish thing set up, right?
Peanut butter and jelly.
Where I have an orange over here, an apple here, and banana. Delicately drizzled in whatever sauce you choose. Could be strawberry puree, grape, whatever you want. And if I reach deep enough in the bottom of my bag, it might be a little treat in there for you. Just a little dab of green, a little dab of red. But yeah, I'm fruit today. I'm working today, so nothing heavy. I will be looking at pictures of y'all food, wishing. But now I don't eat till I get home, which would be about 12 hours from now once I go to work. And that's gonna be light too. So
I think what you said is absolutely right. Yeah, fruit is where it's at. We're doing chicken today. Chicken, I believe the wife is gonna make some bread today. I'm not sure, not 100% sure. I'm about 30% sure she's gonna make bread today. But chicken, broccoli, maybe some rice.
You got bread?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
She ain't been feeling 100%, so she ain't made no bread this week.
Okay.
But she did, I think, I don't know if I told y'all this, she made the rolls, right? And she's like, I think I made them too hard. I was like, nah, we put them in a, you know, long Tupperware bowl, put the top on, let them sweat a little bit. Man, take that thing out. I had some burgers. Heated that thing up, put that burger right in the middle of that thing, dress that thing up with that aioli and that brown mustard.
So it wasn't too hard for you?
See, by then, sweating, so it made it moist. You know, the cakes was moist. Matter of fact, speaking of which, I'm going to see if she make a cake today. She make a cake. Her cake's always moist, man. Melt in your mouth.
Mm. I can't with y'all, man. I can't. Yeah, I came out the gate swing.
What?
Yeah, see. Oh, see this, yeah, see. When it snowballs, it just keeps coming. What are you gonna do about it? You know? Cold showers, baseball.
We come to the end of the show. Man, we be back on Tuesday. What we got on Tuesday, Midnight Ride? We should be talking play-in game because I think the play-in is Wednesday, correct?
I think so. And then if we can, we might be able to have us a Joe the Fan.
Okay.
So we'll talk some
NBA play-in games on Wednesday, and then we'll talk about the WNBA draft as well on Tuesday, where everybody's seated, because Caitlin Clark is supposed to be your number one overall pick, allegedly.
Why?
Because we don't know. And until that card is handed in, we don't know.
Tell me that's human nature.
And here's the thing. Why? They're saying that Indiana Fever are going to be the most watched team at 35 times on TV this season coming up.
I already told you.
She's, put a pin in it. Put a
they,
pin
they,
in it.
They two. Already said that the tickets for the Indiana Fever games, especially here, the first game here against Washington, the tickets, the lowest ticket price is $176 because they expect Indiana to take Caitlin Clark, and you're going to get the Caitlin Clark effect. It's even to the point where I think ESPN or whatever the coverage is for the WNBA has the Indiana Fever featured for 38 of their 40 games or something like that in either prime time or on a network.
So that's something to,
yeah,
that
she already makes some money, BJ.
That's something we need to talk about on Tuesday, as well as we need to start doing follow-ups on Tuesday. How did Sunday dinner turn out? So we need to start doing that. I'm getting to it. Eyes are getting to it, boss. Eyes are getting to it. Eyes are coming. So for the boss BJ, the Midnight Rider, I'm the big guy KG. Y'all know the motto. We don't do no overtime now. We are out of here.
Didn't talk.